Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another Healing Hearts. I am Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Thank you for joining us today. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30, and we will start reading at verse 1. But before we read, someone who was experiencing a very difficult time asked me, how do you cope when you're going through difficult moments? They knew all of the Bible verses and they knew all of the right things to say. But when you're really in the thick of battle, when you're really in the thick of things, you need to know how you go about coping with the difficulties in a Christian way, in a biblical way. And so today we will look at some scriptures to learn how to cope in difficult times. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David was a battle-hardened soldier. He had seen many battles in his lifetime, and he had never lost one. He had been fighting since he was just a young boy when he went up against Goliath with a sling and five smooth stones. But the sight he saw when he walked over the top of the hill at Ziklag was horrifying to him. The smoke and the destruction he saw sent him to a place he had never been before. A man who knew no fear was now suddenly shocked and terrified. And then, as they searched through the burnt-out city and found no bodies, the grief of his men turned to anger and rage against David. Grief will manifest itself in many ways, and the grief of David's men turned to anger and it turned to rage against David. The Bible says that he, David, was in distress. He was trapped, caged, pressed in, he was cornered, and he felt like his back was to the wall. He was in distress. He was distressed because his city had been burned and his family had been taken away, and the men and friends who were closest to him had turned against him. He was stressed because he had been separated from his family. He was stressed because he had lost everything he owned, only the clothes on his back and his sword that he had in his hand. They were the only objects that he owned. He was shattered and all hope was gone. He feared of what might happen to him next. He feared what might happen to his sons and his daughters, and only the worst thoughts were going through his mind at that time. Fear is the ghost of a man's mind. David's men, the riffraff, the outcast of Judah, turned against him. He found himself in a place where he had never been before, alone, hated, and even closer to death than he had ever been before. He had seen death before, and he had been alone before, but never quite this close to death. When Saul threw a javelin at David and almost killed him, he was close to death. When he was in the cave of Adullam, he was close to death. When Saul was searching for him, he was close to death. But now men stood before him with big stones in their hands, ready to kill David. He was the anointed king, and kings always had men following them. But This time, the men who were following King David talked of stoning him. David was in a very difficult situation, and he had to know how to cope with this monstrosity that was facing him. All of his men were turning against him. David would need the accumulated experience of a lifetime to save him spiritually and to save his mental stability. When we read the Psalms, we can kind of understand the things that David was experiencing. Psalms 42 and 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Psalms 42 and 6 says, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hills of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfall. All of your waves and billows have gone over me." David felt at this moment in his life downcast, and he felt as if he was drowning in the sea of life, like the waves of life are about to overtake him. I don't know if you've ever been in waters on a beach before, and standing in the water, you suddenly find that there's no ground under you, and you suddenly find yourself struggling to try to get back to shore, and the waves are coming over your head, and water is going in your mouth and in your nose. You get this sudden feeling as if you're drowning. Sometimes life can be like that. Things come after you, one thing after another, and it seems to be overpowering your life and giving you this sinking or drowning feeling, like you can't help yourself because the waves of life are rolling over your head. And David said to himself, "O my soul, why are you disquieted within me? Why are you cast down within me?" So David realized that the problem was not outside of him. David realized that if he was going to strengthen and encourage himself, he had to do it from the inside. It had to be an inner strength. It had to be an inner joy. It had to be inner spirituality, and it had to flow from the inside. Many times we look for help from the outside, but I'm here to tell you today, if you cannot stand being alone, if you cannot stand quiet places, if you always need someone around you, then you are not going to survive very well. You need to come to a place in life where you like being alone with yourself. Some people hate being alone because they can't stand the company they are with. But when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, when you have God inside your temple, then you have something to draw on. You have an anchor that holds within the veil. David knew that he had to draw from strength on the inside. He said, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down on the inside." So strength in this life, with a spiritual or mental, must come from the inside of you. If it's not in there, you are in trouble. David said, "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemy reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Can you hear David speaking to himself? Many people shun the idea of talking to themselves, but you must learn to talk to your inner man. You must learn how to communicate with the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, and you must allow the Holy Spirit to lift your spirit, to lift your heart, to lift your mind. For David said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" And then he uttered these powerful words that will take us to the next level and will pull you out of that dark hole that you sometimes find yourself in, times when you don't want to get up in the mornings and you just want to close the blind and pull the covers over your head. The Bible says the strength to overcome that must come from the inside. When your soul on the inside is not at rest, when your soul on the inside is in turmoil, you must do as David said in Psalms 42:11. He said, "My hope is in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." So where do you find the help you so desperately need in times of trouble? When David was exiled from his family, he could not go to the temple to pray. He could not go to King Saul because King Saul was after him. You have no best friends around you, no hotlines, no crisis centers to call. Where do you go? What do you do when you have no place to go? The Bible said David went into his temple, into the inward man that was inside of him. And the Bible said he went inside to find help. And so we read in 1 Samuel 30:6, the Bible said, "David was greatly distressed, for his men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters." And this is the point I want to make today. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. There was no one to lift him up, no one to encourage him. He had to find the strength on the inside. Very few people experience what David experienced. His wife and his children are gone all in one day. His house is gone. The storehouses are gone. All the reserves for future needs are gone. He had nothing left. And now all of his friends and all of the people who had been with him for many years, they're planning to kill him. The souls of the people was grieved, the Bible said, and the root of bitterness began to grow in their lives and in David's life. David was feeling the collective bitterness of 600 men at one time, because the Bible said, "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices until they had no more power to weep." I don't know if you know what this means, but they cried and they wept until they had no more tears left. You cry until you have no more strength to utter any words, and every ounce of energy is gone, and everything seems surreal around you, dreamlike, where you say to yourself, "This cannot be happening to me." I don't know if you've ever been there, where something so dramatic happens in your life that you think to yourself for a moment, "This is not real." David said in Psalms 18:6, "In my distress, O Lord, I call upon you." And David cried unto my God. And the Bible said, "He heard my voice out of his temple." When you find yourself in a situation like this, you have to ask yourself, what has changed in my life? What is different in my life? Did something happen over the last few hours or the last few days or few weeks that caused me to be disquieted on the inside, to cause my spirit to be shaken and to not be at peace? Did something happen around me? You have to examine your environment to find out what has changed in your life to cause this disquietness, this unrest in your spirit. But I thank God that we serve a God of second chances. We serve a God who will not punish us in our mistakes. He will allow us time to get them right. And so when David realized that he had been away from God, he made up in his mind to turn back to God. For David had been in exile for nearly a year and a half. And during that year and a half, we have no record of David praying or praising or worshiping God. David had strayed away from God during that time that he was in exile. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken us except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. In other words, God will not let testing destroy you. But the Bible said with the temptation or testing, God will also make the way of escape for you so that you may be able to bear it. Someone may say, well, Pastor Tapper, that's all well and good, but how did David learn to cope? How did he deliver himself? How did he get the strength and the encouragement to pull himself out of the deep, miserable, dark place he found himself in? And so we find that in 1 Samuel 30, the Bible says, but David encouraged and strengthened himself. And this is the key, in the Lord his God. David didn't turn to self-help books. He didn't turn to rely on his own strength within him, but he turned to rely on the Lord his God. Remember when King Saul was in trouble? He sent for a medium. He sent for a witch to try to get in touch with dead Samuel. David did not turn in that direction, and neither should we turn toward mediums, witchcraft, palm reading, tarot card readings. We should not turn in those directions, but we must turn to the Lord our God, and he will strengthen us on the inside. I love this verse in the Bible, and in particular, I love one word in the verse, and that word is but. But David encouraged himself. It's one of the best conjunctions in the entire Bible. But God. But God will not leave you without help. David was standing on top of the ruins of his life. He was standing as a complete failure before all of his men. He had nothing left but the clothes on his back. I don't know if you've ever been there where you've had everything taken away from you and you have absolutely nothing left. But David stood on the top of the ruins of his life, and David said to himself, I will strengthen myself. I will encourage myself in the Lord my God. Recently, my father passed away. He lived in Virginia. He was 96 years old. But for 5 years before his passing, he had to receive his meals through a feeding tube. And one of the things I admire about my father is as they were pouring the liquid diet down his feeding tube, he would sit there in his chair after a stroke, and I could hear him utter the words, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He was actually giving God thanks for food that was coming into his belly through a feeding tube. How many people can praise God in a situation like that? How many people can actually praise God for receiving food through a feeding tube? That's what we have to do in extreme situations. No matter what situations we're in, we have to learn to praise God and to give God thanks no matter how bad the situation around us feels. Just how did David encourage himself in the things of the Lord? David stood on the top of the burning heap and he said to himself, I know the Lord loves me and I know that I love God. David said, I know that he has chosen me. I know that he has ordained me to be a king over Israel. And I know that God has saved me in the past from dangers. He saved me from the giant with 5 smooth stones. He saved me from the hands of a king who was set to destroy me. He saved me as a fugitive with nowhere to go. He saved me in the cave of Adullam. He brought these 600 men to me. He gave me the wealth of Nabal. Yes, dear people of God, when things are going bad in your life, you have to look back over your life and you have to thank God for the things that he's brought you through. And you must know that if God delivered you from that car accident, if God saved your life from that cancer, if God took that tumor away out of your head or out of your chest, if God stopped that clot of blood that was in your lungs or in your leg or in your heart, if God saved you all of those years ago when you were hanging out in the street and he saved your life, you have to thank God, because God didn't allow you to die in that homeless shelter. God didn't allow you to be killed in that bad, abusive relationship. God allowed you to live to see your children and perhaps your grandchildren. God didn't leave you then, so why would God leave you now? God will come to you walking on the waters of life. God will not allow you to drown. David had no doubt in his heart and his mind knowing that God would not help him. He only wanted to know what he should do. That was the only question David asked. What should I do now? But David never doubted that God would help him, even though he had been exiled and away from God for a year and a half. He still placed his trust in God. Even in the most difficult times in life, he praised God. It's time for you to get rid of the sham faith. It's time for you to get rid of the fake faith that you might have, and you must truly believe, you must truly trust, you must have true faith in the Lord your God. And that's what David did. I don't know if you noticed it here in 1 Samuel 30 and 6, but the Bible said that David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. For the first time, David realized that God is not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he is the Lord my God. You see that in the scriptures? In times of distress, it's not enough to call on the God of your father or your mother. You have to learn how to call on your God. You have to learn to make God personal. You must not be the person who is content with just general statements and general knowledge about God and His Word. You must be the one who says that God died for my sins. You must make Him personal. You're not taking anything away from anybody else to say, "My Lord and my God," as Thomas did. When you breathe in air from the atmosphere, there's plenty of air to go around. So when you make God personal, you're not taking God from anybody else. You are just accepting God for yourself. It's only when you come to the realization where you can stand up and say, "Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me. And I know this for a fact." That's what David came to the realization when David said that he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David had to do something for himself. Encouragement and strength didn't just fall into David's lap. He had to make some effort in order to pull himself up out of the pit and the ruins of life. And you must do the same thing in your life. You must take control. You must take responsibility. You must make the effort to call on the Lord your God. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." David recognized a personal God. "Thou art with me," he said. David had to deny the lie around him, and he had to encourage himself with the truth. He had to deny that life was over. He had to deny that Satan had destroyed him. He had to deny all of the voices in his head and around him telling him he was nothing, that he was a failure, and he had to occupy his mind with God's truth. David had to say, as Paul said in the book of Philippians, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard or keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." And then Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Paul is giving us one of the secrets to strength and encouragement in the Lord our God, and that is to think on the spiritual things in life, the good things, the lovely things, the pure things, the things that are just, the things that are honest. Those things we must think on, not just think on, but we must meditate on those things. It takes effort to fight back the things of Satan in our lives and to concentrate our thought and our meditation on the things of God. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Remember, think on the things of God in this life. Remove the negative thoughts from your heart and your mind and replace them with the truth in God's Word.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374 or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more Healing Hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.